Praise God. Let's go over to Proverbs 3, verse 5. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. Trust in Him. Trust in the Lord. Not trust in your strength. Not trust in your intellect. Not trust in your money. Not trust in your connections. Not trust in your ability to speak. In your ability to think. In your ability to impress people. In your ability to sell. Nothing. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. That means you don't have a plan B. That doesn't mean you turn your brain off. But we're not supposed to try to figure everything out. We're not supposed to try to do everything ourselves. We're supposed to trust in Him with all our heart. With all our heart. We're His children. And we serve Him on this earth. And He's bigger than we are. He's much smarter than we are. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. There is none. He is second to none. There is none higher. He is the Almighty, the Creator of everything. Hallelujah. Hold your finger in Proverbs and go over to Psalms. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 100. It says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God." Know that the Lord, He is God. He's not a God. He is God. He's the King. He's the Creator. He's the Almighty One. He's the one that set the heavens in place, that set the planets in place. God is so big. I think sometimes we get just distracted with all the junk here on earth, all the unbelief, all the natural things that we have around us, and it's easy to start getting distracted and forget who it is we're serving and His attributes. And to get off, to start looking at these natural things and start making them in our minds bigger than Him. But He's the King. He creates planets. You know, we may tinker with a few things here on earth and we may have figured out how to do a few things, but He creates whole solar systems. He created our bodies and they haven't figured out how it works yet. Some of it, but only kind of describing what is, not necessarily that anybody can reproduce it or even reproduce a, you know, little ant, let alone a human body. He created it all. And not only is He so big and so vast, I mean, we can't even comprehend how big the universe is and how far, you know, light years are. Years of light traveling as fast as it does. For a year, that's how far a light year is, and things are light years, many light years away from here. Just blows our mind. Yet at the same time, the smallness All the particles, they keep going further and further down. These subparticles and subparticles, all these things that are beneath everything that you know, we look and we see, you know, an object, but below that and below that, it just keeps going down. So the vastness of the universe down to the minuscule. And he knows it all. And he created it all. And he has a handle of it all. There is no question you could ask him that he would say, I'll go look that up. I'll get back to you. He knows. He knows. He is the creator. He doesn't need a computer. For him to use a computer would be like us pushing around a cart, an ox cart or something. You know, I mean, it just doesn't even make sense. You imagine him sitting on the throne. God Almighty sitting on the throne. Right now, he's sitting on the throne. All these things are going on. The universe is going on. He's not frazzled at all. He's not wondering what's going to happen and what happens in the U.S. economy or the U.S. election or whatever. He's really not upset or frazzled or anxious at all. Just imagine him in all his glory and splendor sitting on the throne. We can come talk to him anytime, and he can handle it. He can handle all of us coming in at once. And he doesn't even break a sweat. You know, some people get the idea that God's like one of these old switchboards. You know, it's only got so many calls could come in. You got the president of the United States coming in, you know, somebody else coming in, this ambassador, you know, the big head of this company or whatever, all coming in and they're all flashing. They look at him, you know, maybe there's even a little bit of sweat on his brow. He's starting to, you know, how am I going to handle all this? That's not the way our king is. No. He's on the throne. Right now. And he knows all. And he sees all. And he is completely at peace. He knows everything about our lives. He knows where we came from, where we're going. And he's completely calm. And he has the answer to every problem. Just picture him. He's our Father. He's not some human that has a bit of power and some resources on this earth. He is the Almighty, the Creator, the Omniscient One. Omnipotent one. He is sitting on the throne. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. And not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We're his people. Say, we're his people. We're his people. We're his people. The his we're talking about is the Creator. We're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. I don't know much about sheep. I don't imagine sheep out there just all in a frenzy, though, running around. To me, it seems like they're there. They're just doing their business, eating their grass, whatever. Shepherd's taking care of them. God Almighty knows all about us. He knows everything right now. And he's not worried. And he's not upset. And we're in his hand. Hallelujah. So right now, we ought to have the same attitude that he does. We ought not to be upset. We ought not to be distressed. We ought not to let anxiety and worry or fretting about what's going to be ever enter in, because we're the sheep of his pasture. We're his sheep right now. We're sitting in here and we're connected with the highest power in the universe. He already gave his son. If he already gave his son, what else is he going to do? What else is he going to give? Well, anything that you would think he wouldn't give, yeah, he gave his son, but what about this? That would mean that thing would be more valuable than his son. There is nothing more, but he's already given the highest gift. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Keep your finger in Proverbs still, but turn over to Romans. Romans 8, verse 31. Proverbs 8, verse 31, or Romans 8, verse 31. Let's go back to verse 27. Let's go back to verse 18. Let's go back to verse 18. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Just that verse we could stay in. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We're not talking about suffering things that Jesus already suffered. You know, but as we're going and serving him, this is more talking about when you're laying your life down for other people, get the gospel out. There is a suffering there. We're not going to go into that. Paul did all kinds of things to get this gospel out. We're not talking about suffering what Jesus bore. Verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is not seen, or that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we ought, or what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." One reason to pray in the Spirit. When we don't know what to do, we know what to do. We can pray and believe him, that he helps us in our weaknesses. Verse 27, "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. He knows how to make everything the devil throws at us or this world throws at us, turn it right back around and make it work for our good. And use it as a weapon to forge forward. God can do that. He didn't say he sends everything. The Bible didn't say he's responsible for sending everything to make good happen. No, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's tainted by the curse. We live in a world where a bunch of people are completely steeped in unbelief, and things are not as they will be eventually. And those things come against us. There are demonic spirits. There are evil forces. There are things that are trying to stop the work of the Almighty. And we're His children. But God is bigger. And God is greater. And anything that the devil meant for evil, God can turn it right around and make it work together for good. And He will. And He does. So when things don't look like everything's going our way, that's the time that we need to look at Him and trust Him. And not start citing against Him. Not start saying, why is this happening? Or what's going on here? Or why would God let this happening? It's not Him that is the cause. It's not Him. He's not doing the things. He's our answer. He's our Father. We are the sheep of His pasture. He's the one sitting on the throne. So when these things come against us, come and look like, where's God? What's going on? That's the time to look and say, no, this is going to work together for good. Verse 29, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, who He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. God saw that you and I would believe on Him. He didn't take away our free will. He gave us a free will, but He saw that we would believe on Him. And the people that would believe on Him, He knows all things. He doesn't force it, but He knows. He didn't make us choose Him, but He knew we would. And we're predestined, predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so He's called us, He's justified us, and He's glorified. Now verse 31, what then? So if He's seen ahead, and He's seen through time, and He saw that we would believe on Him, and He saw that we would believe on His Son and be justified by His Son. Verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who? Who can rise up and take on the Almighty? Satan tried, and he lost. Now, he doesn't like the children and the sheep of God. He hates us. And this is a fallen world. The Bible does call Him the God of this world. But He isn't more powerful than God Almighty. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. We have been bought with a price. We've been born again. Yes, the devil rules this world. But we're in it, and we have a power higher. Devil's been stripped of all power. And so as we walk in this earth, he has no power over us. Now the people that aren't born again in the family of God, they're still under his dominion. People ask, well, if God's in control of everything, why do certain things happen? God's not in control of everything. Ultimately, God is in control. But he, for this period of time, Satan is in control of a lot of stuff on the earth. He bats people around. He drives people to their death. He does all kinds of things. There's all kinds of things going on in the earth that aren't the will of God. He doesn't make everything happen. Things happen. But we know that He, in the middle of it, is our help and our Savior, and that He's for us. So when things come our way and it doesn't look like certain things are happening, don't let that distract you. Don't let that get you down. All that means is this temporal world, certain things are happening, but it doesn't speak anything to the character of God. God is still there. Things may happen on this earth. Things happen all the time. People go to hell every day. That's not His will, but it happens. And so other things will come into our life and challenge us, and we'll deal with the effects of the fallen world, but that doesn't mean God's behind it. And that doesn't mean He's sitting by wanting anything to happen. It just means that we're being challenged, and it just means that we need to take up our authority and say, no, this will not happen in my life. Don't start impugning God, because that's what the enemy wants us to do, is start impugning Him. Because he knows if we'll turn our guns at God, God's our help. And if the enemy can get us to start backing away from God, now we're backing right into his clutches because he knows he's the one that's orchestrating stuff in the first place. That's his plan. That's what he does. He lies. He tries to get people to believe lies instead of look to God. Verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation separate us? Now you know Jesus said, John 16:33. Hold your finger. I know you have 10 of them, so we're not even close yet. John 16:33, everybody there? It says, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. Peace. Like, you know, we're the sheep of his pasture. Pasture. Peace. In the world you may have tribulation. Nope, that's not what my Bible says. In the world you will have tribulation. Unless you're a born-again Christian. No. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Are these letters in red in your Bible? This is Jesus. He said, no, in the world, you will have tribulation. Pressure. Squeezing. Stuff coming in on that word. We went over that, you know, one time. That word means pressure, squeezing, a crushing. Pressure, tribulation. Stuff is going to happen. Some people get the idea that if you're a Christian and you know you believe in faith, nothing's going to come against you. That's not true. And if you think that's true, then when stuff comes against you, you'll be surprised and think you did something wrong. And what did I do wrong? And God, how did you let this happen? Jesus said it would come. Tribulation will come. Now, is he sending it? No, he's not sending it. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, light. But stuff's going to come. It's not him. People get this confused in the world all the time. Why did that little kid die? I don't understand why a good God would let somebody suffer. God Almighty has provided a way through Jesus to overcome anything of the enemy. But the enemy still is the God of this world. And stuff comes and happens. And it's not God's will. God did not take that little child so that they could have somebody, another person in the heavenly choir. People make up all kinds of stuff to start justifying or to make people to feel comfortable or to comfort them in a time of loss. It's not God's will. God did not kill somebody's son or daughter to bring them to heaven to sing in a choir. That's a lie. That is slapping God in the face. God didn't do that. Psalm 91, it says, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Long life, I will satisfy you. You think, you know, a young child is young. They're not satisfied with life. They don't want to die. The parents don't want them to die. That's the devil. That's the thief. But Jesus said, we'll have stuff come in this earth. And just because we've been born again, that doesn't exempt you from it. That just means you become a bigger target. Devil wants to make sure that you shut your mouth and don't tell anybody anything good. And if you start believing on certain things, don't think he's not going to throw stuff at you to test you, to knock you off, because he doesn't really care, give a rip about you, but he's going to try to steal the word from you. Because if you experience victory and you start telling other people, that whittles down his kingdom. That whittles down his influence. He doesn't want that to happen. He's going to try to get you to give loose and say, oh, well, I just don't know that this works. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It just doesn't work. No. He's trying to get you to relinquish. No, but we will have tribulation. So go back to Romans. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Or distress? No. Or persecution? No. Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? What's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Nothing's going to separate us from the love of Christ. The King of all. We have His love no matter what it looks like. Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. In all these things, in whatever is going on, we are more than conquerors. He throws something at us, we conquer. He throws some, you know, the enemy throws something at us, this world throws something at us, somebody at work throws something at you. We are more than conquerors. We cannot be conquered. Things come, no. That's not the way it's going to be in my life. That doesn't mean you control other people. That means you deal with whatever's behind it. No. No. That's not the way it's going to be because He loves us. What does it say in verse 37? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through our own strength and our ability. No. Through Him who loved us. Who loved us? Him who loved us. Not only is God Almighty on the throne, and He creates planets and solar system and has all this power, but He gave His Son to die for you and me because He esteemed us that valuable, that He, the King, we've heard this so many times that I think it starts to go past us, and we can't comprehend it with our finite mind, but we have to realize there is a very high price paid for us. Very high. And the value of anything is determined by what somebody will pay for it. It's not determined by how much you throw up the price for on eBay. You can put any price you want on anything, but the determining factor is somebody going to pay for it. You can put, you know, something you think you found in the attic that's really valuable for $1 million. It could sit there and expire and nobody cares because nobody esteems that very valuable. You can have something that you put on there initially for $10 and it sells for $1 million because you may have not esteemed it valuable, but somebody did and they pay through the roof for something. Happens all the time. Some collector's item or something. But Jesus paid for us. His blood was shed for us, for the sheep of His pasture. So the omnipotent God sent His spotless Son because He loved us to pay for us to have everything we need in this fallen world and for eternity. But while we're here, we're not waiting for that to get out of here. Right where we're here, we have everything we need. It's paid for. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The King loves us. The King. If He loves us and He's given His Son, then nothing else can get in the way. Nothing else can separate us from His power and His love. But in this life, at times, it looks like, what's going on? And that's the devil's playground. When certain things start looking a certain way, or something isn't going the way you think it ought to go, That's when he comes to people and starts harassing them and telling them, that it isn't going to work out. That things aren't going to, that Jesus is not there for you. That if God were there, he wouldn't have let this happen. If God were there, it would have already happened. If God really cared about you, you wouldn't be where you are. And when you hear that type of thing, that should be a red flag. That is not God. This is trying to push me away from him. This is trying to get me to drop my trust in him and to say, I guess it doesn't work. I guess he's not here. Well, why, God? Why? Why? And when you go down that path, you basically open the door for the devil to come in and start spinning you around in circles with your reasoning. Let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. But the second part of verse 5, lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on what you can see, what you can feel, your own understanding, what's your reasoning. Well, I just think if it were like this, then, you know, if God was really involved, then this would be like this, and I just don't see how, and I think this should have happened, and why not this? You're leaning on your own understanding. And when you lean on your own understanding, you open yourself up to the realm of trying to match wits with Satan. Because he loves that realm. He'll start knocking you around. Well, you have to understand. You don't know, well, why is God doing that? Why is God not doing that? Why hasn't God shown up here? Well, you know, this really looks like that. And he'll start putting you in knots in a matter of time because he knows how to play that game. Our own understanding is finite. We don't see everything as we ought to see. We don't see everything clearly. Well, what thing we have to just get down ground in that no matter what I see, no matter what I feel, God is for me. God loves me. I'm a sheep of his pasture. He is for me. It doesn't matter who's against me. It doesn't matter what circumstances against me. God Almighty is with me, is for me, and I'm still going to say what he said in his word regardless. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding of this situation. I don't understand everything, yet I'll praise him anyway. And I'll believe his word, and I'm going to say his word, and say it so in my life, because what the devil wants to get us to do, and he does this to every one of us, is try to push you to where your mouth starts lining up with his plans for you and what you think may happen and the feelings that might happen, and start speaking that out and declaring that in your life. He wants to push you to where it pops out your mouth and you start saying, well, I don't know where, why, this is, and what's going on, and I don't see, and this is probably going to happen, and start just declaring all this junk. Because we are the kings of our world. And he wants you to start authorizing these other things to happen, and demonic forces are waiting to jump on your words. But on the flip side, and whatever is going on, no matter what is being seen, no matter what we feel, no matter what our pressure in that tribulation, the pressure is trying to squeeze you and squeeze something else out of you. If you'll speak the word and focus on the word and say, no, but I don't care, but God. But God says this. God says my body's healed. God said he'll take care of me. God said my relationships will be fine. God said I'm not supposed to worry, so I can do that. He's just. God said not to be anxious for anything. God said that he will protect me at all times. God said with long life he will satisfy me. And the thoughts will come, yeah, but why? And you keep hold, instead of going back into your reasoning, you go right back and say, but it is written. But it is written. But God is a good God. You just recount what He has done for you. And you start speaking that stuff out. And you just keep speaking it out and say, no, God said, and God has done, and He will do. And God, and I'll praise Him. And that's trusting in Him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your reasoning. Yeah, but I just don't see. Yeah, but time and this and why not? And don't go there. It doesn't mean you don't think. Our brain was not given to us to challenge the Almighty. It's supposed to work in conjunction with what His Word said. If He said it, okay. If He said it, then my response ought to be, okay, sir. Yes, sir. Whatever. Yes. And that's the way it is. But it doesn't look like, I don't care. He said it. Our brain is not supposed to be to reason against Him. It's to reason with Him. So it doesn't matter what's going on in our life. We don't start going, well, if God were really real and He were really helping, then this ought to be it. No, don't go there. Say, no, God is true and He's faithful and He is working. But it doesn't look like, I don't care. He's working. He's working behind the scenes. He said He would protect me. He said that He has no favorites. I believe Him. I trust Him. And I'm not going to let anything impugn the character of my God. Doesn't matter if all hell is breaking loose, it seems, in your life. Don't side in with the pressure. Don't side in with the tribulation. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. He'll show you how to get out. He'll show you the way. Just keep acknowledging Him. Say, God, I don't see how to get out, but I'm acknowledging You. God, show me. God, I'm acknowledging Your Word right here. I don't see this, but God, You said in Your Word this, and You said in Your Word that, and you acknowledge Him, and He'll say, yes, son, you just keep coming here. Well, the last thing you want to do is start running away saying God's a problem, because now you're all confused. No, you just want to keep saying, no, God, You said it, and You, and He'll say, yes, son, You come over here, and You come over here, and You sidestep that, and you just keep on with the Word. And if we'll keep the devil in the realm of faith, we will whip him every time. If he can get us over in the realm of reason, he will start to defeat us, and we'll sink, because we can't deal with him on that level. He'll have us tied in knots, but when we just say, no, I don't care about that, I don't care about that, God's Word says He cannot deal with that. He can't, because he's dealing with the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. He's dealing with Almighty. We know He can't stand. He's been whooped there, and He's not going to stay around much longer. He's going to go to somebody else that isn't going to throw the Word and pull out their sword. We go on the offensive. No, God said, this is what's going to happen. Amen? And we do that until. We do that until. Until what? Until we see whatever God's Word says we ought to see. Yeah, but it's been this long. God's Word did not put a time limit on anything. We just say no. No, don't start reasoning. Don't start understanding. No, God, You said. Yeah, but somebody tries to say, no, but God said. And that's when we're strong. That's when our faith gels. That's when we just get no. And when you get that way, Satan, he can't deal with that. Amen? Amen. Amen.